No doubt one of the hardest parts of the COVID-19 pandemic has been how it's necessarily isolated us. It's given many of us a kind of visceral experience of something that you probably suspected was true, that humans were created for fellowship. Is that a word that you've heard much, fellowship? It's kind of, we call it Christianese. It's a word that Christians use, but not many other people do. Communion is another word that might be used, or community is probably the most common one that our world would use today. So fellowship means something like that. On the original, it just means sharing things. So you could have a fellowship of possessions. That would mean that you share your possessions with one another. But the fellowship to which John is referring in this passage is a fellowship of persons. It's a giving of yourself to other people. That's what it means to have fellowship with one another, or we could say, to have community with one another in our terms. And John, in the passage at which we're looking today, says he wants his readers to have fellowship with him and with his community, the community that he has fellowship with. And so also today, we believe that at City Light Church, for reasons that will hopefully become clear as we go here, that we and many other churches here in the city of Philadelphia and throughout the world also have fellowship with John and with his church. Which means, the desire for others to have fellowship with us means at least that John wants people to join one of his churches or to remain and persevere in love if they're already members of those churches. And so we also today want to call you to have fellowship with us through the word of life. And this passage is going to give us three reasons to have fellowship with us through the word of life. First, the word of life is true. Second, our fellowship is with God. And third, it will complete our joy. So the first reason to have fellowship with us through the word of life is because the word of life is true. So let's look at where the passage begins here in verse 1. First thing John says concerning this word of life is that it is that which was from the beginning. He's saying before anything else existed, this word of life existed. And then he goes on in verse 2 to say that this eternal life was with the Father. Okay, so he's saying that there's this thing called eternal life. Not only is it eternal in the sense that it never ends, this eternal life is eternal in the sense that it never began. When all things began, it was already there. There was never a time when it was not. And it was with God in the beginning. Now, when John writes in this way, he's writing in a very similar way to the way he opened the Gospel of John, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that he also wrote. There he begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, for something to exist before anything was created, that something would have to actually be God himself. So not only is this eternal life with God, this eternal life was God. And John then identifies that eternal life in this passage here in verse 3 as the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ. Or in John 1, as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So he's saying here that this word of life is concerning eternal life, which is Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning with God and who was God. So this is the third week in a row now that we've seen from a passage of Scripture that Jesus is truly God, one in being with the Father. And it hasn't really been the main, it's not the main point of this passage. It's not the main point of the passage we looked at last week. It kind of was the week that Michael preached, but we've mentioned it each week. And why is this such an important thing? Well, it's important first and foremost, because if you don't see Jesus as truly God, then you won't worship him as God, and he won't get the glory that he deserves. So that's the first and most important reason. Another important reason, though, is because there are a lot of people in our world today who will express some appreciation for Jesus, who will even say things like, I believe in Jesus, or I follow Jesus, but who explicitly deny that Jesus is truly God, one in being with the Father. I'm thinking of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, even some mainline Protestant denominations. And if that's you today, right, if you're watching this video and that's you, I want to just speak honestly with you. I want to speak candidly with you. If you reject Jesus as God, you are rejecting Jesus, okay? His divinity is part of the essence of who he is, right? So if you were to say, Mike, I know you, I like you, but I deny that you're a human being. You don't really know me, right? Like part of the essence of who I am a human being. And part of the essence of who Jesus is that he is truly God. And that matters, right? It matters in a big way. Because if you don't have Jesus, if you're rejecting him, you also don't have eternal life. John says here that Jesus is eternal life. And later in 1 John, he's going to say that whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And I tell you this, and John tells you this, not to exclude you, right? But actually because I want to include you. We want you to be part of this fellowship. But the only way to have fellowship with God's church, and more importantly with God himself, is through the word of life. And this is important for us as Christians to realize about the people we care about. Because there may be people you care deeply about who claim to follow Jesus, but who reject the idea that Jesus is God. And we just don't want to be thinking, well, hey, they say they follow Jesus, we good, right? That's a more comfortable thought. And it's a very uncomfortable thought to think someone you care deeply about may not actually have eternal life. But the only person you're helping by not facing that fact honestly is yourself. We don't want to miss the opportunity to share the word of life with people who need to hear it because we've convinced ourselves that they don't need to hear it. We want them to have communion with us, but the only way anyone can have communion with God is through this word of life. That's why John has to proclaim it, right? He's saying, I want you to have fellowship with us. But none of us are born into eternal life. None of us are born in fellowship with God. We're born dead in our trespasses and sins. And until we hear the good news that Jesus Christ has died for our trespasses and sin and risen from the dead to eternal life, then we will never have fellowship with God and never even truly have fellowship with God's church. Okay? So that's an aside. Back to what this passage is saying. John's claiming Jesus is eternal life. How does he know this? He tells us. He says in verse 2 that this life was made manifest. He's saying this eternal life that was from the beginning, it's been revealed. And here's what that means. Verse 1, it means we have heard him. It means we have seen with our eyes. We have looked upon and have touched him with our hands. John is claiming something for himself here and for the other apostles that we actually can't claim for ourselves, okay? So don't over-spiritualize this. He's not saying we've seen Jesus in kind of metaphorical spiritual sense. He's really trying to be clear. No. I'm talking about like an eyewitness testimony here, right? We have heard him. We have seen. How have we seen? With our eyes, right? And then he repeats himself, which we have looked upon. And then he says, and we have touched him. Metaphorically, no, we have touched him with our hands, right? You and I can't claim that about ourselves. There were people actually who saw Jesus Christ, right? That eternal life, which we celebrate at Christmas, became manifest, became a human, so that if you had eyes, you could actually see him. And if you had hands, you could actually touch him. And if you had ears, you could actually hear him speaking in his incarnate bodily human nature. So we can't say that about ourselves, but it's significant that John still uses the pronoun we, because what he's saying is, you don't have to just take my word for it. He walked around, right? There were plenty of other people who saw him. In fact, there's a whole group of other apostles who also saw not only Jesus, but the risen Jesus, just as John did. And there was another apostle named Paul who wrote a letter to the church in Corinth and told them that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared not only to him, but to 500 others. And then he adds that many of them are still alive today. Why does he tell them that? He's saying, go ask them, right? This isn't some secret that you have to believe and take my word for. When Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, founded Mormonism, he claimed that God the Father and his son Jesus Christ appeared to him and to him alone. So his testimony is, I saw. Muhammad, around 610, AD 610, claimed that God began to reveal himself to him, and those revelations now make up what we know as the Quran. Muhammad's testimony is, I saw. But John's testimony is, we saw. I saw, but so did the other 11 apostles, so did Paul, so did 500 more who saw him when he rose from the dead, who many of whom are still alive today. You can go ask them. Now, I can believe that in order to start a religion and get a lot of followers, one guy can make stuff up, right? But what are the odds that not only one John, but 12 apostles, and 500 more people whose names we don't even know today, who aren't famous founders of some religion, would all pretend to see, hear, and touch something that they in fact never saw, heard, or touched? Especially when you consider the fact that many of them died for that testimony, right? Pascal says, I believe the prophets that get their throats cut, right? It doesn't make their religion true, but it shows you that they really believed it. Who's willing to die for something that they know they're lying about, as these guys would have had to have been, if their claims to see the resurrected Jesus were in fact false? I wonder if you're watching this today, whenever you're watching this, if you're not a Christian, how do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that they were willing to die, so many people willing to die for something that they would have had to have known was a lie if it was in fact a lie? Many people today do not believe in eternal life. They believe it's something that Christians tell themselves and that other religions tell themselves to deal with the terrifying thought of a total annihilation of consciousness at death. And I get why people think that, right? There's a plausibility to that because it is a terrifying thought to think that our consciousness could actually be totally annihilated at death. But it doesn't answer the question of historically why people like John believed in eternal life. It's plausible that they could have just made it up, but did they actually just make it up? John says, no, I'll tell you why I believe in eternal life. Because I saw a guy die, and then 3 days later, I saw him again, and he was alive. And I heard him talk, and then I touched him with my hands. Now, that's a pretty rational reason to believe in eternal life, right? And thankfully, he wrote it down for us so that we could hear this message also. So why have fellowship with us through the word of life? It's not most fundamentally because death is scary and eternal life sure is comforting. It's because the word of life is true. Again, if you don't believe this, have you ever stopped to consider that possibility? What if it's true? Not so much what parts of it do you like and don't like, but what if Jesus actually rose from the dead? And there really is such a thing as eternal life, and we know, because it was made manifest, and people saw it and touched it and heard him. That's the truth. Have fellowship with us through the word of life, because the word of life is true. And John says, he writes these things specifically for that purpose in verse 3, we proclaim it also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He tells us these things so that we can have fellowship with him and with his church. But ultimately, because they have fellowship with God. So the second reason to have fellowship with us through this word of life is because our fellowship is with God. Now, before I jump into the specifics of fellowship with God, just a couple things to notice here about the link that John makes between believing the word of life and fellowship with his community. We call John's community the church. It's what we confess in our creed, that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. The church is the community united by the word of life. And that's the first thing to notice about it. What defines John's community is this shared belief in the word of life. Which means that the Christian church, the Christian community, is not ultimately united by personality types, by the stage of life we're in, by socioeconomic status, by race, ethnicity, culture. It's a community united by the word of life. Which means if you're a Christian, you ought to be sharing your life and letting others share their life with you who are actually different from you, but with whom you have in common the word of life. It also means, on the flip side, that Christians cannot pretend to have fellowship with someone who does not, in fact, believe the word of life, who does not, in fact, even agree on what the word of life is. And again, that's not an attempt to be exclusive. That's an attempt to include. But we can only include people in something if we're clear about what it means to belong to that something and what that something is. And so that's what John's doing, right? He's saying, I want to proclaim this word of life to you because I don't assume you already have it, but I want you to, and I want you to have fellowship with us. Second thing to notice about it is that believing the word of life includes joining the fellowship of God's church. The two ideas are linked in John's mind. When John says that you may have fellowship with us, he at least means that you may join one of our churches, or that you may persevere in love if you're already a member of one of those churches. So if you're watching this video and you profess belief in the word of life, praise God. But if you're not also a member of a church, or at least like actively moving towards membership in a local church, that just doesn't make much sense. Because the two go hand in hand. And throughout the Bible and in John's mind, if you have received the word of life, you would have fellowship with the people who have received the word of life. I know there's challenges to that, right? And there's difficulties. There's hurt that you've had in the past with churches, perhaps. Churches aren't perfect. But I also know that even aside from City Light, there are plenty of good apostolic word of life preaching churches here in Philadelphia, even. And we want you to have fellowship with one of them. John wants you to have fellowship with one of them. And in fact, since John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I can say on the authority of God's word that God wants you to join one of those churches if you aren't yet. And if you are, God wants you to remain in fellowship and in love with one of those churches. He wants you to share your life with those people and love those people and let them share their lives with you and love you. Why? Not ultimately because the church is so special, but because God is so special. And the church's fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, as John puts it in verse 3 of our passage. The end goal of all church fellowship is God fellowship. I've spoken with a few members of our church. I praise God for these stories. They told me that when they first came to City Light, the thing that they really liked about the church was the relationships. They liked the people. And that's great. But they also came to a point where they realized that they had been enjoying relationships with the people, but didn't actually have a relationship with God. And that they needed to actually evaluate where they stood with God. And when they did, they realized that they didn't have a fellowship with Him, and God used that actually to bring them into fellowship with Him through faith in the Word of Life. You don't want to let friendship with the church be mistaken for fellowship with the church, and ultimately for fellowship with God. That's what the whole thing is about. That's what John's saying here. I have a young son, 2-year-old son, and one of his Christmas gifts from the grandparents was bubbles for the bath. You know, so I can take a bubble bath. So now he really likes taking a bath. But last night I was giving him, you know, his bubble bath, and I went to, you know, put soap on the washcloth and wipe him off to clean him. He didn't want me to do it. He said, "No, Daddy, no, Daddy." he started to think that just being in the bath was the point of the bath. But the point of the bath is to get clean, right? The bubbles are nice, but the point of the bath is to get clean. If you're just hanging out with the church, that's nice, right? I'm glad you appreciate the relationships. We have great people in this church. Like, I love the people in this church. But the point of being in the bath is to get cleansed. And the point of being in the church is to receive the cleansing of your sins through Jesus Christ and to come into fellowship with God himself. Don't just hang out in the bath. Get cleansed. Come to God and believe this word of life so that you might have fellowship with him. Don't mistake friendship with the church with fellowship with the church. And ultimately, more importantly, fellowship with God. Now, on the flip side, let's drop the other shoe. Don't try to get clean without getting in the bath, right? Don't try to have fellowship with God, but skip fellowship with the church. Because John says they go together. John's saying, have fellowship with us because we do really have fellowship with God. You know, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. And you can have fellowship with him the moment you believe. But God also says that he dwells in his church. He calls the church his temple, the people that he dwells in, together. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there, in that location, am I among them. So there is a fellowship and a depth of fellowship that you can ordinarily only enjoy if you enjoy it in fellowship with God's people, with a particular local church. Jackie Hill Perry is a Christian, a poet, a rapper, an author. She does a bunch of stuff. And she grew up in church, but at a young age identified as gay. And as a result, just wasn't around church as much. She said churches just weren't very a safe place for people like her. And then she heard the word of life and became a Christian. And she had a tough decision. She had to decide, do I join a church now, right? When churches haven't been a safe place for people like me. And she did. And when I heard her explain why once, she simply said, I just realized that God was there. A lot of problems, a lot of imperfections in churches. But God is there. I spoke with a member in our church not too long ago who struggles with same-sex attraction, who said that he often felt like he was most understood and accepted in his gay community, not in his church community. And that's sad, right? It's unacceptable, frankly. It's something we want to grow in. And yet, he's never been able to really forsake the church community, the fellowship of the church. And I asked him why. I said, well, what keeps you in? And he basically said, I know God. And I know these people know God too, this church community. And I need that in my life. And as much as I feel accepted and affirmed by my gay community, they're not going to help me know God. And if I want to have fellowship with God, I need to maintain fellowship with this church family. So have fellowship with us, not because we're special, but because God is special. And he's here. Not because we're good, but because he's good. The fellowship of the apostles, it's hard, it's undesirable in a lot of ways, right? They were persecuted, they were killed a lot of times. Who wants to be part of their crew, right? And the church today, like, it's not the cool kids club, right? It's hard in some ways. The people are sinners, right? They mess up sometimes. That they're different from you. Relationships can be difficult. But have fellowship with us. Because God is here. We have fellowship with him. Like, I think City Light's pretty great, right? I think it's a great church. But the most basic reason to have fellowship with us isn't because of that. It's because for some odd reason, known only to the good pleasure of God, he has chosen to have fellowship with us. And not only with us, but with lots of other churches here in the city of Philadelphia and throughout the world who also believe and proclaim the same word of life that 2,000 years ago John believed and proclaimed. If you've got beef with City Light, let's resolve it so that you can join this church, so that you can remain and persevere in love in this church. And if we can't resolve it, join another church. We'll help you. We'll help you find one. Because there are plenty of other churches that believe this word of life. And if they do, they have fellowship with God. And that fellowship with God, is worth it. It's worth whatever pain, whatever discomfort, whatever inconvenience comes from joining a church or remaining in one. And finally, the reason John's writing all this, he says, the final reason to have fellowship with us through the word of life is because it will complete our joy. Now, properly speaking, this isn't really a reason for you to have fellowship with us. Like, I'm not saying, hey, do it because it'll make us happy. That's not your responsibility so much to make us happy, right? So let me just take that off of you. But sometimes, when people are trying to get you to join something they're a part of, don't you kind of look askance at that a bit? You know, they kind of wonder, hey, what's your play here, man? Like, why do you want me to join this thing so bad? Maybe you've wondered that about me, during this video. It's a fair question. What's your motive, right? So John wants to clarify it. He's saying, here's why I'm writing to you, verse 4. I'm writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John, why do you want me to join your fellowship? Because I want you to have fellowship with God, but also because it would just make me happy if you did. And at our best, this is why Christians want to talk to you about the word of life. This is why we want you to join our fellowship, because we really enjoy it. We have joy in Christ and joy in the fellowship of his people. And yet, our joy is a little bit incomplete, knowing that some of you don't have it, and knowing that some of you who do have it might be considering forsaking it or drifting from it, especially in a time where fellowship seems so much more difficult. And you know what that's like, right? Like, you watch a great video, or you find a great TV show, or you listen to a great sermon. You have joy, right? But you kind of have to tell someone else about it, right? And if they don't like it, it's kind of like a damper, right? You know, you're like, oh, come on. Like, don't you see how great it is? Your joy is a little incomplete unless others enjoy it with you. And that's what John's saying here. And that's what we're saying here. Might that be a reason, if you are a Christian, if you do have fellowship with us, if you're a member here at City Light, to share this word of life with someone who doesn't yet believe it this Christmas season? To call someone into the fellowship of our church who isn't yet in fellowship with any church that proclaims the word of life? You know, we've tried to give you a simple opportunity to do that too. You could just send out the link or the information for the Christmas Eve service that we've recorded already and that'll be streaming on Christmas Eve. My guarantee to you is they will hear the word of life if they tune in to that service. Who could you send that to this week before Thursday when it airs? This fellowship with God, it's not without its challenges, right? But it's really good. It's really joyful. And it will complete our joy if you would enjoy it with us. Believe the word of life. Have fellowship with us through it. First and foremost, because it's true. And because our fellowship is with God. And Jesus himself says in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. There is just nothing better. There's nothing more joyful than to have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So believe the word of life, enter into that fellowship, and have fellowship with us.